of the Planning Commission. May I have a roll call, please?
Chair Stan Eisner.
Here.
Vice Chair Matthew Nolan.
Here.
Commissioner Randy Blair.
Here.
Commissioner Ed McNichol. Commissioner Jared Mead. Commissioner Daniel Mills.
Here.
Commissioner Dennis Teschla.
Here.
Thank you. You have in your packets copies of the minutes of our November 19th meeting. If you've had a chance to review them, I would entertain a motion to approve.
I would make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Thank you, and may I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Our program this evening is not a public hearing, it's a study session put on by the staff. And so with that, Tom, it's all yours.
Okay, I think with your indulgence, I would like to do item B first, which is talk about the economic study, and then talk about the work program for the coming year, if that's okay. Okay, and this presentation is based on a presentation that was given to our city council on January 12th. Prepared this to sort of a discussion of how the city has done economic development in the past, sort of because we have a lot of new city council members, and to sort of go sort of through the town center kind of project a little bit at kind of a high level, and then to talk about the Eastgate Urban Village project and sort of how that sort of options that we have to do that. So I hope that this is interesting for you. Some of the sort of old school, you might remember some of these things yourselves if you were here, but if you weren't, that might be new information for you. So I'm starting off with some of the town center history. Town center started as a one-sentence policy in the 1992 Conference of Plan. It came out of the Planning Commission, and an idea was to have something besides the town center. At that point, the city had Albertson. That was sort of the center and the heart of the city, other than the golf course. And so from that policy, a lot of different activities occurred. There was an advisory committee that made a master plan, they created design guidelines. In 1997, the city council adopted a plan. And it was actually much smaller than what we ended up in the final configuration. And so what they did is they commissioned an economic feasibility study and they prepared marketing materials to various different potential tenants or property owners or developers. And so, for example, this is what the original master plan looked like in its first iteration. And just for, this is SR 527 going north and south. At the time, it was only a two-lane road. And this is Smokehouse Creek, which then became Mill Creek. If you read our history section of our common plan, we actually changed that name. And so this right now is where the bridge is, where you go across and the creek side goes up and LA 50. It's actually a much smaller original town center. You can see a large green here, buildings pointed around it. And all along the edge, along the wetlands, they're all townhouses. So there's a lot more residential. And then there was a community center right here. Right here. So that was the original, original plan. We sent those flyers out. Bill Trim actually flew down to California and met with some developers. It showed some interest. And we heard a similar message from several of them. One is that it's not big enough.
It needs less
residential focus in the town center, but you need more rooftops around it. There's not enough
density to
support what you're trying to do. You're not going to get the financing. You're not going to take the risk to put it in. So that we came back and said, so what are we going to do about that?
So the city took it upon ourselves to change our composition
and zoning over a few years.
They involved enlarging the town center area. It also
meant changing the zoning from the area that's north of town center now
all the way up past Dumas around to the SR
527 subway area. We turned that from business park at the time.
It was all going to be offices and turned it into a multifamily residential. And we created a new town center master plan.
So that took a few years to do all that. We actually got a grant from the state to do a plan of action for the rezoning of the area from business park to which took a lot of risk out. We basically made it so the sequel was already done.
So that was good for bringing good developers later on.
So if you've been in my office, you've seen this drawing is still hanging
on my my wall. It used to
be out in the lobby years ago, for several years. This is what the new master plan was. Unfortunately, it's oriented another way, so you can't really see it,
but here's the creek again. So all this area here was added to the town center in addition to the existing
central market. Now is here.
This building angled this way.
The building over here, that's LA Fitness. Now at the time, it was going to be some sort of movie theater
or cinema, and that was sort of the dream at the time.
So after we did all that, the first thing that came in was
the reserve, which was the now called, well, it's called the reserve now. It used to be called GPI.
So GPI Mill Creek or?
We took operators here to create a consortium to build and bring the sewers all the way from
back here by the city hall all the way through the
site. We sort of set the alignment for where Main Street was
going to
go. We also had some other
multifamily developments came in over time.
So we actually have three large residential buildings that go up north of town center. And then the Buckin brothers, who mainly a residential developer, purchased the area on the north side of the town center. And my primary goal was to build River Crossing, which is the properties to the west of the creek. But they also set up to define the site plan and created 10 lots of these for sale later
on the north side of
153rd. And then sold those to different developers over time.
And that's why
if you go through really with a keen eye, you can see the north side's a little more
eclectic. It has a little more different architectural variety between the various buildings because they're all different
developers. This is our party we had when they were
cutting all the trees down to put the sewers in. We had a
big grand opening in the middle of summer, and the weather was really nice.
And those are
big hard hats. We've had a few of them around City Hall for a while. I don't know if they're
still laying around.
Sure, put the whole thing on, did a great job. So when Buckin came in and started building their house, they had to build the bridge so they could build the homes on the other side of the creek. They also put in the infrastructure, the roads,
so they get to the lots that were going to be for sale, those 10 lots. And so they
put in the infrastructure.
And then they also
started selling the lots for the single
family homes.
Phase two side,
those are all one developer that was called Wakefield. This is the people that did the Rivendell condominiums, by the way. They sort of grew up really fast and went from doing one condo development to doing the whole bottom half of the town center. And
we tried with our design and board really job to try to have it look like there's different developers and different architectural styles in the buildings, but those are actually all done by
one developer and as sort of one big developer. And they developed their roads on this
side too. So they didn't have a lot of
involvement in actually building anything or investing in capital projects.
What we did do is all the zoning and all the
marketing and
trying to get it better, trying to get everything to follow
all the dollars in that great direction.
And then it came time for the city to step up. Right now, Main Street dead-ended up there.
North of where?
Right where the Run 26 is?
That was the dead end of Main Street. And we had a big cul-de-sac here down at 158th. With a
parking lot kind of in it, right in front of City Hall.
Because it wasn't named Main Street, that was 158th.
And so we did actually do quite a bit of investment. We invested over $1.3 million to build that Main Street through to connect it and reconfigure the whole thing so it all connected.
So
the city actually did have to put in its own
money and its own dimes to make that work.
Which isn't a huge investment as far as the capital cost, but we did do it. So in Christ Mall Township is a great success. So some time goes by.
And
we think we annexed the area to the east of 35th Avenue.
Large area, and there was a large
cushion where Walmart was going to go.
And there was
an idea, hey, let's do something similar in design. It'd be a little bit different, but let's do something similar in design.
Town center up
there. And so in 2008, we created this East Gateway Master Plan. It's very similar. It had mixed-use buildings, ground floor, retail, on street.
On a
spine road. Didn't allow any big boxes, it's supposed to be small because it was sort of a reaction to the Walmart proposal that was withdrawn. We wanted
more residential.
Town Center could have had residential, but the market wasn't for it, so the thought was we want residential. So you had to have at least 400 units,
had some
office, had a public park, and it had a
civic building. The library was actually looking at going there. And
probably also in this plan, it's part of our comprehensive plan. This is a 32nd Crossing North, Sand Hill Road.
Comes over here, and then 39th is where the light is here, where the high school is.
and 44th is the new signal.
Where Polygon is, and here's the
spine that kind of winds its way to the side. So that was the plan. We also tried to help, the city might have to participate in some of the roads, so we applied for some financing that was offered by the state that helped us pay back bonds if we borrow money. And it's been developed actually quite a bit, sort of the way it was designed.
We have an office
building that was put in, Polygon went in, it was a
lot more residential, so the
400 units were almost achieved
right off of their development. They have a neighborhood park, there's some commercial in there.
But the Polygon also got the council concerned. The recession had hit by that time, so the
economic environment is a little bit different, and instead of having the commercial coming in and requiring a certain amount of minimum,
that looked like it might go all
residential and not have enough of the commercial.
So the idea was
to that change the zoning to sort of prevent another
Polygon from coming in. And so we took things to say you could only have residential if it's above ground floor.
Commercial, you don't have to have 40 units anymore, and you can have big box if you want.
So we actually are also
looking at another project that's come in. It's called Vintage. It's a senior housing
project you probably read about in the newspaper. That's 216 units above commercial. It's on 4 acres. There's a development agreement. The developers agreed to let the city have a 2,800 square foot senior center, as well as a 500 square foot police precinct station. They'll at no cost as far as leasing. It's, we have to furnish it, but it'll sort of be ready to furnish when they're done with it. Which leaves about 14 acres left in that area. That's really developable on the west side of
44th. And there's 2 acres next to Seattle Hill Road. So
this is a map of the area. The area in the red are either things that are spoken for or already developed.
The areas in yellow
are still available. And really the real plum of the whole thing here is the Penny Creek parcel. It's relatively flat. The signal's already here.
It's about 12 acres. This is the
project that's underway. We have a 2 acre
yellow piece right here. These three lots down here, the road's going to come through here. The area down here is
probably mostly suitable for residential,
probably not commercial.
So sort of the whole focus of this now is kind of what to do in here.
The last 12 acres.
We ever completely finished with the church? Are they happy at this point?
Oh, yeah, they're happy. I mean,
we have a really good relationship with
them. They sold land to Polygon so they could build the road the way they did. There's still, to put the spine road in the city, or you could have to figure out some way to bury their detention pond in some way or move their water somewhere and build the road over it.
So they have no
requirement to build that section of the road. So
at some point, that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about with the council coming up about what this future investment career should be.
So, because of the concerns of East Gateway still not resulting in development expectations, because the Vintage project came in after we changed the zoning,
and the council, I think, still isn't necessarily thrilled about the amount of commercial we're getting.
So they adopted a moratorium to have us take a look at what's going on out there. Is the zoning right?
Is the vision right? We need to sort of
evaluate that. So.
And as of July 15th,
you can't take any binding site plans in the whole East Gateway of the village. So
Vintage is
still processing its vested, but we haven't had anything since.
On
October, we did enter into a contract with Eco Northwest, financial kind of consultant. We actually call it the 132nd Street Corridor because while this is all going on safely and outside,
they were leaving and
basically shuttered up the place and there was an alarm of,
okay, well, Gateway's kind of coming. Really has a lot of vacancies too, so let's
think about maybe
a larger
quarter than just East Gateway. They have met, they've done some work already.
They met last
with the council on
January the 12th,
and we did a vision exercise primarily focused on East Gateway, but it's actually sort of, it would be more
anything that's in the city.
And things that came out of that, and it's probably no surprise, I don't think, is that
they want
high quality development, sort of like
city brand, sort of
sense of cachet,
sort of build that pod with
Dunning Town Center, enhance amenities, stores, entertainment options.
They're not looking at dollar stores or things like that. We want sort of higher end.
Look at a range of uses, maybe some residential, but the emphasis on retail. The idea is to sales tax generation.
That would be a way to help us fund our public services. And the
council really wants to understand the fiscal implications. The fiscal implications, that's the wrong word. fiscal implications of what these different uses do and what the city, what that does for our tax revenues. So, next thing is the next step. At the next meeting on the 23rd, which is this Tuesday coming up, the consultants will be back here talking to the council, and it's really the only item on the agenda.
Except for a couple presentations and recommendations.
And they developed three different development scenarios. One is like a strip commercial, and that's what the current person that controls Penny Creek Partners wants to do.
They want to do things that don't meet the current zoning code, like a fueling station with a grocery store, a bank, a drive-through drugstore.
Things that are very auto-centric. That's what they want to do.
Meet our code.
The other scenario is sort of like a high-end, all-retail store, sort of higher-end stuff. And the other one would be mixed-use, higher-end retail, but with a
residential buff of like
75 units or so. And so what they've done is they've sort of done a feasibility to compare these various uses and what they do.
And whether,
given the current market, are they feasible by what they are?
What kind of taxes would they generate? And they're also going to look at what kind of enhancements
as far as zoning changes or tax break credits or capital, like build the road for them kind of stuff. What is it going to take to make it worth its while? So for example,
I don't want to get away with anything that's going to set on the
second, but if a strip center, the market is there now,
with the value of the land, they can build it in without any real help from the city. And if you want something else, because of the cost, what it takes to put it there and the return on the investment and the risk, you would have to
make that happen without waiting for the market to get here first.
You might have to build the road or build the stormwater or change your parking regulations or something like that. So it's
sort of a,
how are you willing to wait? What do you have to do to sort of get them in here to make it worth their risk to the road to invest? And they
decide whether or not you want to do that.
You want to do that somewhere else, you know, in your city. So
there'll be a really good discussion on the second thing if you're
interested at all. I think it could have a very wide ranging discussion.
Okay. So I already kind of covered this when I was talking. You should. But the idea is, how do we get what we want, not get what we don't want, and what does it take to do that?
And so that's kind of what we're trying to get out of this study.
So, hope I didn't bore you too much.
And you brought up the 132nd corridor, mentioned the gateway. And can I ask how that's going? And then we did do some modifications to the comprehensive plan for, you know, the area west of Albertsons, and if there's anything happening in any of these other areas, or it's just kind of percolating at the moment.
Well, I think those are all very much on the front burner, that discussion, and that a lot of that could come up
as soon as Tuesday.
The Safeway Center, we are working with the property owner, sort of the capital investor.
They're the majority owner, but
Kimco is a minority owner
and manages the site.
And apparently there's been some activity, potential things happening, and they're having
meetings. I'm not at liberty to say anything what they are. I don't know exactly, but there is some activity on that looks potentially, I'd say, good news.
There is
interest.
You know, some of the thoughts the city has had, some of the councils talked about, is that,
you know, that might be a good opportunity for like an entertainment kind of a district. There's, if you could
get like a three screen or two screen,
you know, boutique kind of a theater, you know, that serves food too, that could generate the need for more restaurants, and there's
a big parking lot there.
It also,
the person that's the capital
that owns it, you know, realizes
that it needs
some serious work as far as bringing it back up, and it looks old.
It's tired. So part of their plan, no matter what they do, is to update the landscaping, update the parking lot, basically
redo it,
repaint, change the facades.
So it's going to be a major upgrade.
Similar to what they're, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Village by the Creek, where the they're right, you know,
they have
designed a new board, and really
putting big space up on that side as well. So a lot of reinvestment
going, which is really good news.
But it just, I mean, it takes the focus off the city council looking just at one part of East Gateway if we've got.
Yeah. And as you recall,
you brought that up, is one of the substantive changes in the comp plan was that there's a recommendation, a policy that was adopted by them, that we need to do an assessment of the area
west,
basically the town center and south, and say, you know, what, when these redevelopment, what do you want to look like? If you don't do something different, the code's kind of, it could be mini stores, it could be, you know, don't know what it's kind of. And you've also looked at
changes to the
buffers
and how we can maintain the existing
buffers, so you could stay with the existing
footprint of what's already here.
And so those are really neat tools, but they don't want to give that tool, as not even gone to the council for
adoption, because you don't want to do that to actually become that you don't want to come in.
So I think part of this whole discussion now is
these things, ways out there, this is what your potential is, this is what it costs to
put a road in, to get the things you want. Are you willing to
do that, or do you maybe want to focus somewhere else? And so it's a
big question that we need to have those
answers. And or those questions answered, because it takes a lot of resources. We don't have enough.
I'm pretty excited about it. I think no matter where the council goes,
I think there's going to be some work for the commission to do, and we'd be pretty excited.
One of the questions that I've had in the time that I've been here is, as the 132 corridor begins to develop, the East Gateway, how much of that is going to
siphon off
the economic growth potential from the town center?
Well, at this point, not very much, because there's not a whole lot
left.
Office buildings now, there's going to be a senior housing. I think that the distance apart, the types of uses that are going to go in there, I mean,
we don't know exactly what's going to go in there yet.
There is, you know, some of the primary information is that there is a market for those kind of typical strip center kind of stuff, and town center sort of serves a different niche.
One of the problems of getting the specialty kind of things, the high end, is that they are kind of close to each other, and that creates more risk. And that's why you need to incentivize or do something to sort of bring down the sheets where it makes sense to do it. If the market was different,
even the town center, then that would probably be, have been done by now. I mean, so I don't, I mean, there's always a risk of that. I mean,
yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things where you look at large-scale shopping centers, and developers look at it, you have a given population, each of them requiring so many people.
Right.
You spread those same people out five times.
You wonder why four shopping centers don't really have.
Yeah, they often have sort of a unique thing. I mean, the more of it's just consumer goods, you can have a saturation of those. And
there's a lot of people live around here. There's a lot of
really good demographic as far as income. And
spending ability.
So when you get down to the specialty kind of stuff, there's
they can't be that close to each other.
We're lucky because the food is the draw now
in downtown, between the pizza place and the lodge that just opened and the Chinese restaurant. It's become a destination.
Well, yeah, I don't know if we talked about that, but Snohomish County Tourism created
flags for all the different cities.
But they selected for the city of Mill Creek was culinary tourism. Which is a good way of saying
you've got a lot of good restaurants.
Yeah.
And
I think that's something to build on.
You'll see that
things you can buy on the internet
are having a hard time putting brick and mortar stores in. The way, like, you know, what's happening in town center, what's in there now are things you can't buy on the internet mostly.
Food, chiropractor, dental. There's some retailing in, but you hear a lot of stores where people like the running store, running shoe store, they go in there, they
try on their shoes, get them all fitted in their brand, and they come and they go home and order them on Amazon. And there's going to be more and more of that.
So I think we're seeing a real change in the economy.
More services. And
the more that we focus on things that people can't find on the internet, probably the better.
Yeah, I would second that. I'm encouraged to hear that they're looking at more entertainment options, and I agree we've got a good collection of nice restaurants in Mill Creek and some good options, but I mean, I could easily imagine 5, 6, 7 more, and there would be just much less reason to leave town to get a bite to eat. I mean, there is no real decent seafood place. There's no real, well, I don't want to go on record with any of my other opinions, there is no, I mean, clearly there's no seafood place for one, and there's no, right, exactly. Yeah.
It's all good stuff.
And movie theater would be great. The one, you know, I was back in Cleveland for Thanksgiving, and near my sister's house was a Dave and Buster's. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Dave and Buster's. And that was the one thing where you're like, boy, that Safeway, it's a big spot. What could go in there? And I was like, well, boy, Dave and Buster's would be nice to go there because it's big, it's got lots of parking, and it's a great place for, you know, the whole family and adults and a bar and fun things to do. I mean, that's one of the things we do find is that if we want to go out to eat or get a drink, we can stay in town, but you want to go do something else, you got to get out of town, so.
I mean, any theater, even the big ones, you have to go face to Everett or Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be so nice to have something a little higher end right here in town. And talking to the owner of that center, that's sort of in his place too. He thinks that's a great idea. They've done some research on that. So,
interesting.
Conversation that they're looking at, so.
There was a new, oh, sorry. There was one of the other, something I wasn't aware of, this was near my brother's house on the other side of Cleveland. They had a new, I think it was three, maybe it was four screen, but really nice food, comfy chair, kind of high end, but second run. So the movies were only $5, but the food and the drink, are there even second run houses? Period anymore. I don't know. There used to be when I, you know, I used to go to see the movies secondhand. You know, and
Spokane.
Yeah. So that was something that I was like, oh my gosh, a nice second run. So you could go see, you know, the summer blockbusters in November for $5 and get a drink and good beer and it was good food. I was like, wow, that was really cool. I'd like to have, if I had one of these by my house, I would be here every weekend.
Well, the theaters like this one, Mountway Terrace and Red.
Yeah, Cinnabar is nice.
And the owner of there said he's from California, and he said they're actually a lot more popular there, and they're kind of working their way up. So I think we're going to see more things like that. It doesn't have to be
big with the giant parking lots. And what's
really good about those is they really
spur a lot of other things. If that comes in there, the restaurant's going to be there.
Because you want to eat before,
you want to eat after, or you want to continue drinking after, or what are you going to do?
I mean, it's
so it just it creates a whole sort of energy. One thing about that, Center is it's actually not, it's almost completely attached to the North Creek Trail as well. There's like a real connection where it comes out of Cone Park and goes up the wide sidewalk next to Dunes Road.
There's really only the unfinished sidewalk in front of that the church property, like where the gas station is. It goes right to the gateway. If there's a way to sort of,
now we're looking at what kind of things could go where the church property next to the gas station.
Yeah, that could be maybe like a boutique kind of a hotel or something like that. If you have that,
it's entertainment.
Cooking
on
the
trail,
it
might bring some executives from Bowling. They're staying
for a week or two. Maybe they hang out there, go to the movies, and eat a nice steakhouse.
So
we've got some ideas. We're
talking to some people, but it's really early on.
What can we do as, well, not necessarily even planning commissioners, but just as citizens of Mill Creek to ensure that we don't end up with another drugstore, another bank, another drive-through, whatever that one option was. I mean, do we need to go to that meeting? Is there a place to have our place? Because if we have one more drive-through, drugstore, bank, I mean, please, that's the last thing we need.
You know, that's a really great question. It's a really hard question to answer because in zoning, retail is generally retail.
You know, you can say I want a Target, but I don't want a Walmart. That's really difficult.
Now, yeah.
Say you want entertainment,
you don't want retail. You can do that, but to distinguish between types,
I don't know. That's something that we're talking about as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really difficult. A lot of times, what happens is
you want to make sure that the improvements and the quality of your town are such that the rents that are demanded are outside the limits of people because they don't want to spend a lot of money. They go in a place where it isn't that expensive.
So, but that's a difficult question. It's a hard, you know, usually
even
Beverly Hills part has a Walmart, you know. But.
So, can I ask, you mentioned the gas station between the former Safeway and that, and then there's the development of a card shop or something
that's
going across, but is there any development options on the property that's to the west of that, the gentleman?
The Kelly Trust piece, a little triangle there.
We did some changes for the comp plan to entice, you know. So
yeah, those are all difficult
sites
for a lot of reasons.
The city is actually looking at
different economic development sort of areas.
So that would be, yeah.
That may have a
sports focus, because we already have a sports park, and the city owns a lot of land in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
the church is there as well, which is a nice piece of land.
So there's a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, the church piece has, is...
There's nothing proposed on it.
Is that already used yet?
Yeah, it's got
potential because it's got that...
Edward Highway frontage.
The problem with the church is they're not in a hurry.
Is that that little church we're talking about?
Yeah.
The manual tower?
By the cell phone tower?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And there's a vacant piece between the gas station and the Safeway.
Yeah, that's about 5 acres.
5 acres, yeah.
The old Cardinal property, not the Cedar Park Church property.
It seems to be that that
Safeway building is a...
It's got a lot of short-term potential.
I mean, if the right things
go in there, that will
spur development on the other, about 15,000 square foot building.
It's the highway that's always had some issues. So we're working at it.
At one time, and I think you mentioned it,
one of the developments
up on 132nd
is going
to come up with
so many
square feet for a police substation.
Yeah, the senior project I mentioned, the Vintage, it's going to have a 500 square foot station, like a satellite station for the police department to use, and there's going to be a 2,800 square foot area for a senior center.
That was going to be my question. Have they
in fact committed to the senior center?
Well, they've entered into a development agreement with the city council, so they've committed to it.
They still need to go through the public hearing with the hearing examiner to make sure we tell the zoning code requirements. And we actually had a meeting today with them, and it seems we're moving forward.
It's a complicated project, so...
Are you going to get design review?
They've had informal design review already.
So, if you look on our website, there are elevations of what they... What's going on.
Okay,
and wrap it up. Is it okay if I do my next item down here?
Sure.
We're very informal here.
Okay. Well, I apologize for not having this in the packet, but I finished it today. So, I actually took this time off last week, so I wasn't in the office.
You're excused.
Okay, and so what you'll have here is some of the things that are on our work program as a department, community and economic development, mainly the planning and economic development side, which the latest site is not on here. And it's those things that we basically have to do. They're either mandated by state law, or I just don't have to do them, or there are other sort of procedural things that we're doing. What I've done is I've bolded those items that the Planning Commission basically needs to have some part in the review of. And the other things that are not bolded are things that probably won't come to Planning Commission because they're just, they're procedural kind of things, or they just don't really have, you guys deal mostly with complex plans, code needs to deal with development regulations,
yeah,
and sort of sub-area plans. So I thought I'd just let you go through so you can see sort of things that we're doing. And a couple of them, you'll see it has TBD because that could expand by quite a bit depending on what happens at the council retreat this Saturday and what the city manager and city council come up with about the budget, how we're going to devote our resources, and what we're going to spend. So in the code amendments, we have a couple or several that are coming up that are mandatory. One is State of Washington says that now we have to allow people to defer their mitigation payments until the final inspection on building permits for single family instead of getting them all up front. So that has to be in place by the 1st of July. Building code revisions, every 3 years the building codes all get changed, upgraded on various things. And so that is, they're working on that right now, so we're gonna get that done. LID, that's low impact development standards. And as you know, we've been through this process, some of you weren't here, but some of you were. And we had some language there to do things infeasible, and then when it went through the political process, it became to encourage, well, the new NPDES, our permit requires us to adopt the 2012 ecology manual, which we go from being recommended or encouraged to required or feasible. And so we're going to go through our code and do some tweaks to that. So that's required to be done by the end of the year. Staff was working on several other code amendments that have been either recommended by council or internally we found staff going through our development projects, but they haven't been through legal review yet, and so we need to, it's likely you're going to see some other things. I didn't put on the list yet because the council really hasn't sort of said that's what we want to be spending our time on. As far as the comprehensive plan, we did not get any private proposals for this docket cycle as far as changing things. So we don't have anything, any specific comprehensive plan amendments changed yet. But as you know, you put that policy in there that we're supposed to be reviewing things and looking at this corridor down here. So things that come out of the study or out of that review, that policy may generate themselves into the changes to the comprehensive plan. There's also, I've talked to the city manager quite a bit about economic development element potentially of our plan. And so that could also, if it becomes that, in the comprehensive plan sense, then it may come in, or it may end up being subarea plans and get right down to working on these areas down here. So I'm not exactly sure how that's going to sort of sort itself out. You may eat dessert before we eat dinner, I don't know. Then, I don't know if you know, we got some miscellaneous things that we're doing as staff that take up a lot of our time, so you know that we don't just come to this meeting. Our offices are moving next door to the next building. Construction started this week. We entered contract. We're going to have our own permit center. Engineering, community and economic development, and parks and rec staff are all going to go over to the other building. Where the, ERG?
IRG,
the rehab people that used to be there. It's a very large suite on the first floor. So we're going to be moving into there. We'll have our own counter there. We'll have a nice conference room there. And we'll get away from all this chaos of all the passports that are going out during the day. So we've kind of lost our counter, and it's really difficult to actually do business. It's pretty noisy. So we're looking forward to that move. We are embarking on a very aggressive records management, including electronic records management. We've been doing things really haphazardly since the city incorporated, and we're trying to move into the 21st century. Mainly, one of the main benefits of that is we get a lot of public records requests, and it's really difficult to respond to those if your files aren't organized really well. And so we're trying, that's a big project for us. And of course, our two-year budget's going to be coming up for the capital improvement project. CIP's going to come out this year, so we'll be preparing our budgets. We have several land development permits. We have two now that we're looking at that are going to be hearing examiners. One is the vintage one we've already talked about several times. And then Commissioner Nolan brought up the sports card, the Indoor Mill Creek sports card here, and then Maple Leaf Center here. They want to build their own structure and store their own things in their own place. So they bought that property at the corner of Dumas and 527. And so those two we know about, but there's always things that we don't know when we're coming in. We get a lot of phone calls about what might come in, but since we're not here yet, I didn't put them on here yet. And then we always support the engineers. They can't work without us. So we help do their environmental processing, help them with the traffic mitigation ordinances, and putting together the budget and capital improvement plan. So that's what we've got on for sure on our agenda for our department this year. There's likely that if TBD, there's likely the other things that are going to pop on here over time.
Can we go back to one thing?
Yes.
The economic development element of the general plan. Always an opportunity for conflict. Sometimes economic development looks at the general planning process as being something that gets in the way. You're going to be able to, your department, take it on and maintain your perspective?
I'm the director of community and economic development, so it causes me to wear two hats at times, and there's a balance. I mean, the philosophy of the city is to facilitate development that's consistent with a comprehensive plan and our vision. So that's how I reconcile that. So, and then that's all I really want to say about that. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, that is something that is always at play.
And once, years ago, walked into an office, a piece of paper up on the wall said, planning is the sophisticated acceptance of the inevitable. And that's the attitude that most people in economic development have. They see planning as an impediment rather than as a cooperative effort.
Well, I would hope that our reputation is such that I think that we always have a relationship with people who develop in the town, and a lot of people develop here many times.
Hopefully that puts us at an advantage as a city, as developers look at developing in our little city or some other little surrounding city and go, the risks are lower here. I can get in and I can compete on costs. That's what I see as the advantage to having, you know, combined group in there.
And one of the things that we're, one of the real problematic things that we're dealing with right now is we're running out of really easy to develop land that doesn't have issues. That's just part of being in this suburb. Now, so the things that are left usually have reasons why they're left.
Which brings
us to take more facilitating an action, more massaging to get them to work so that everybody sort of meets their expectations.
Yeah, it brings us back to the question of
annexation.
There's a lot of problems there, too. I don't want to talk about annexation tonight.
I know.
Bottom of my list. One thing else I'd like to say is that the comp plan, you guys did a great job on the comp plan. The city council adopted it last December in time, by the end of the year, which is great. So we can do another comprehensive plan again this year if we need to. They're very complimentary of the commission's work. I think they were very happy with the overall quality. But now we're down to, we don't have a huge workload going on right now as far as long-range planning. We do have a number of code amendments that are kind of in process, and we could generate some stuff with the economic development studies or what comes out of that. But we may not have a meeting every month. I don't want to bring you in here if we don't have something to talk about, or if it's not time critical. I'd rather use staff time better and your time better, make sure we sort of package things up in a logical way. We also know that Commissioner Ed
Nichols
has some absences that he already knows he can't be here. There may be a way to coordinate some of our meetings with when he's going to be here. So I don't know exactly what that's going to be yet, but I don't want to bring you here every third Thursday just to talk about things that are, you know, substantive and valuable.
It's our night out of town.
You're still in town today.
I figured it.
So we're on the map with Google, huh?
Oh, yes. Now, are we to good of the order? Okay, so that was part of my good of the order was
graph.
The thing got adopted, the upcoming meetings, and then Sherry had a couple things to talk about.
Okay. Yes, you mentioned those lovely shopping bags up there. There's a prize. You get to listen to my 5-minute spiel. As Tom mentioned, we are now economic development, and one of the things that we're working on is a partnership with Google. And the goal, everybody uses Google, right? Is there anybody up there that doesn't use Google or another search engine to find directions or businesses or products?
Is that what happens when you turn the on switch?
Yeah. Okay, almost everybody uses it. 97% of the people in the world use it. But what a lot of people don't realize is that a business can claim their listing. Google's going to have information on you. They get it from your website. They get it somewhere out there. The problem with that, though, is it's not always accurate, and it's not utilized to its fullest. And you can, if you're a small business, you can, or any business, big business, small business, doesn't matter. You can claim your Google listing, and then essentially that locks it down, so you're the only one who can edit it. And then you do have free range to edit it. You can make sure your hours are correct. You can, if you're a restaurant, you can link to menus. You can link to your website. You can put photos on it, photos that really sell and market your business. And just as a really good example, I was looking at local restaurants in town. Boston's is using their Google listing really well. When you look at Boston's, they've got probably 30 or 40 photos. They've got photos of the outside of the restaurant, photos of the interior, photos of their food. They're really selling their product. And then if you look at Thai Bistro's listing, they haven't claimed it yet. So it's just what Google put up for them. The picture that's there, you know where Thai Bistro is, it's over by QOC. It's just a Google Street View picture that Google put up. And so it's a picture of a gas station and some cars. So So if you Google restaurants near Mill Creek, and you see a picture of a gas station and a picture of a bunch of lovely food, which one are you going to go to? And this Google service, the claiming your business listing, is completely 100% free for businesses. It doesn't cost them a dime to do it. And so it's like a huge marketing tool that reaches a huge market. 97% of the people literally use it. So what we're trying to do is educate our local businesses that they can claim their listing. And so if you know anybody who owns a business, I mean, Commissioner Teschel, do you own a business? Or
25%, yes.
Yeah, well, are you guys listed on, or have you claimed your listing on Google?
I don't know, actually.
Well,
I will check with the CEO when I get home.
Yeah, the boss?
Yes.
Good to hear. So if you know anybody who has it, just send them to the website. On our economic development page, we have a link on the left that says, let's put Mill Creek on the map. That's got links to the training video, everything they need to do. And it's a really quick, maybe 10, 15 minute process to claim your listing and, you know, add some photos, put in links, make sure you have good hours. So it's an awesome project. We're trying to get the word out to businesses, though. So I figured I'd give you guys some free swag, and maybe you can spread the word for me.
Actually, some of our staff has actually gotten to some businesses that haven't claimed it and subsequently have claimed it. It's amazing. For example, Kevin McGivney, who's the president of the Mill Creek Business Association, he has an all-state agency. So his corporation claimed the car, and they got a great picture of him. But the street view is a picture of a bush, because it's just a car when it drove by, and when it hits that address, it takes a snapshot, and nobody goes through to see what it looks like. So it's a picture of a landscape view of a big bush. It has no relationship at all to what his building looks like, what the sign looks like. I mean, it could be better. And he had no idea, because it's actually claimed. So now he has to go to the CEO, or to the corporate, figure out what the password is to get in there and do it. But somebody did that from Chicago. So anyways, it's for corporates, or as far as, you know, national, or even just your own, or even the home-based businesses. You know.
Actually, really important for home-based, because they don't have that storefront that people see. So
as part of our business retention, you know, it's bringing in new development, it's keeping the ones we've got.
Quick thing, sorry. The Planning Commission terms expire in April, and I actually have three terms coming up this year. Vice Chair Nolan, I think yours is up, so we're hoping to see your letter. Commissioner McNichol and Commissioner Mead, both of their terms are up.
April 30th.
Yeah, but we'll be starting the process. I'm putting the notice out, and I will send a letter saying your term's up. Please send in a letter if you want to reapply.
Time flies quickly.
Doesn't it? 3 years it went like that. But
there's also a list that we have that's on sort of a file of, I think, almost 50 people that have expressed interest in being a planning commissioner, as well as, I think, a gentleman just came down tonight to potentially see what you guys do. So if you want to be on it, be sure you...
Google it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So if you're interested, please be sure to get your application in. The council usually has the interviews during the month.
It'll be the second Tuesday in April.
Okay. I'm not sure what day. What day is that?
Tuesday?
No, I know it's a Tuesday. The number. What day?
What's the date? I'm not sure, to be honest.
I didn't bring my phone with me, so I do not know.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I don't know either.
And if you can't do that, I mean, they're flexible sometimes, so that's still a couple of
I'll be here until the
6th, so if it's
early in the month, I can probably be here. Tuesday's
the
12th. April? Yeah. Weren't you going to be here at the beginning of April?
Yeah, but
yours on the 12th.
Yeah.
That's why I'll be someplace else.
We'll figure out some way to make you.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, that's a bit of the order.
Yep.
Anything from the commission? I'm good.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to second adjourn. We're out of here.
Yeah, we are getting a really good Euro shop in there next Tuesday.
Are you familiar with that particular restaurant?
Yeah, they're down in Buffalo opposite the Home Depot, and they are really